course begin today. We'll go ahead and take a hymn book. We'll be turning to number 7. We'll be singing that in a moment to have time for the lessons. Steve showed me this song this morning, and to tie in good with her lesson about eagles as we look into Steve, you want to read some more?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are very thankful for the morning you've given to us to gather together and to study your word and to worship you. We're thankful, dear Father, for your creation that you've made that always reminds us, is a constant reminder every time we walk out our door, of your creative might and power and beauty. And indeed, it does speak of you and what you have done many thousands of years ago in the 6 days of creation. We pray, dear Father, as we study it more, that we appreciate you more and also perhaps have some insight that we might be able to share with non-believers that might point them towards you as well. And we pray you be with Thomas as he leads us in this study. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we'll sing number 7. I know it's song sung, I don't know if we're good, but I'll try to make it through. There is none like him, none can compare. No God is equal, no prince is heir. Lift up your eyes and see his great might. Soar like an eagle on wings of flight. Saints, lift your voices, though dark your days. Lift up your spirits, sing out his praise. Upward the calling, bright to the light. Soaring like eagles on wings of flight. Have you not known him? Have you not heard? God is creator of all the earth. Lift up your eyes and see his great might. Soar like an eagle on wings of flight. Saints, lift your some will grow weary, sin they'll pursue. Servants of God, their power renew. Lift up your eyes and see his great might. Soar like an eagle on wings of flight. Saints, lift your also, it's got a good verse, Isaiah 40, 31, I believe this is part of our study. But they wait upon the Lord, shall mount upon up the wings as eagles. As we finished up other night, we had left off, I don't know if some of y'all had time to look it up or not, where I talked about Benjamin Franklin, whether or not that he defended the honor of the turkey more than he did the eagle, because he had seen the eagle take a fish, a fresh catch from the osprey. And some of them thought he thinks it should be the turkey should have been the national bird and not the eagle. And I've always believed that he said this, but then others, as you study it and look on into it, they say all this many years it's been a myth. And like I brought up, you know, the night like Pluto, you know, when we was kids, it was a planet, and then it went away, and then it returned again as a planet. And so now what I'd like to do is look at the eagles and talk about some facts about them to end our study on it. And the ball part from eagle comes from an old English word meaning piebald, which is defined as having irregular patches of two colors. And as you notice, the eagles usually typically black and white. Eagles' average lifespan is about 20 years, and that's in the wild. There have been some recordings of eagles living up to 38 years in captivity. And they pair up, and when they pair up, they're sort of like two doves. Doves will pair up for life. And unless something was to happen to one of them, but they usually pair for life. And they usually build a nest and raise up to about three young. And both of them take turns attending to the babies. And like one's going to get food, the other one is there with it and protects the young while the other one's gone. And as we talked about other night, usually in the nest, when these three are there, or maybe two, the strongest one, the biggest one, or the loudest one usually gets more food. And sometimes even the bigger ones will kill the younger ones, you know, get rid of them out of the nest. And I know I've had pigeons that do that as well. And the eagle's wingspan is about 8 foot. 8 foot would be, just say the screen, I'll use it for example, I measured it out earlier. If you take about 4 inches off each side, and the middle would be where the eagle is, then that's about 8 foot. And you see what great length his wings are. They average about 10 pounds is what they weigh. And they are typically about 3 foot tall. And right here, if you notice, this right here I measured off, and this part right here is 3 foot tall. So you can see how tall they are. They'd be real impressive as you look upon them. And it takes about 5 years. I think Thor brought this up as well. It takes about 5 years to become adult like we know them as you look upon them. As they're born, they're more of a brown, off-brown color all over. And their beaks will be black. Now, of course, an adult is going to be yellow, but their beaks will be black as they until they get to maturity. And I'd say around the 2 or 3 year old range, they start, their head starts, you can see patches of white coming in. And also, they continue to change darker and become darker over years. I know there's some animals, it's just a part of the animal kingdom. If you've ever been out, I've been out hunting turkeys, there'd be white turkeys. There'd be white albino deer, we've seen them. Squirrels. Somewhere up in Bowling Green, I see you can go and see white squirrels all the time. And it's just a difference, you know, and it makes it harder on them in life because of their colors, because they don't have the protection, the camouflage that God has sent out to provide for them. And I started to make a small phone video, or not a video, a sound of this, but I didn't do it, I forgot to. The eagle, you think of has anybody heard of a red-tailed hawk? You know, when they're up in the sky, the long, drawn-out screech of one. Well, that's not really what the eagle sounds like. Now, if you look at it in the movies, that's what they sound like. But really, the eagle sounds more like a giggling seagull. And so they didn't think that was real, you know, like real good. You know, it's not a bad sound, but it's not nothing like the red-tailed hawk as we know it around here. And eagles' nests are about 4 to 5 foot in diameter. And they're about 2 to 4 foot deep. And they'll fill it with straw and, you know, other things that are real soft. And they tend to pick out things that blend in with the environment. So they're young, like if they put a brown nest in there, you know, if their young was brown, and, you know, they help camouflage them. And they do nest yearly, and a lot of times an eagle will use the same place every year unless it's destroyed. So if you know where there's a nest at, usually you can go back. Unless something's happened to it or been destroyed, that they will be nesting there again. And
Thomas,
and you.
I'm just going to add. I saw a picture on the internet of the big eagle's nest, and they had chopped the tree down with the nest still in it, and they were letting humans get inside of it and sit in it. And it just made me think about how God's selection of the eagle for a lot of the imagery of carrying us out, he didn't select a sparrow, you know, where that wouldn't work so well. He selected a large bird that has large nests that can paint this imagery that, you know, we can shelter there. We can be taken care of by them.
Anybody else? And usually their nest is going to be 60 foot or higher in trees, in ledges. I remember telling you this, I think it's last week, Kentucky Field, they got a show that comes on. And they went out in a helicopter and rode down the river. And they found this eagle's nest, and you could look down, and there was some young in there. And you could look down and see this eagle, you know, there protecting them. And but the eagles, the babies, you know, the Bible talks about when our children become of age, they're supposed to leave and cleave. Well, the eagles, the babies, they have to be made to leave the nest. And you wouldn't think that, but the mother will actually take and try to throw them out or nudge them out of the nest and get them to leave. And they don't take first flight until about 14 weeks of age. And so but the parents, they continue to feed them for 6 weeks long. So they're really, and what they're trying to do, like I talked about, that they're trying to get them out. And if all they'll do is get out of the nest and start soaring, then it won't be long, they'll be flying. And of course, it's sort of like learning to swim. If you come out of that nest as high up as they're going to be, if they don't learn pretty fast, they're not going to, you know, be around long, because they're going to, you know, fall to the ground. But God has a way to show to for them. He'll know when the time is right for them to leave the nest. And the mother will, the father will as well. And over 50% of babies, the eaglets that are hatched, they never make it. 50% of them die. And we know some of their predators is not only eagles, but you think about the red-tailed hawk. Now, of course, I'm saying that because if when they're older, both parents, I'd say, could leave the nest. And that would leave them more vulnerable when they're at an older age. They might, you know, like I said, she's trying to get them to leave. Well, they have to get out and go hunt for food. Well, they'd be vulnerable to a red-tailed hawk, owls, not around here, but gulls, large gulls, crows, ravens, and different things that could climb. You think about a raccoon. Now, they could go up. You know, you take the average tree around here, it's not hard to get up. You know, if you look at it, 70 foot's well up, but there's trees around here that's up 70 foot. And at one time, the bald eagle almost went extinct because of the insecticides that they were using. They would spray, and they would carry this food back to the nest, to their babies, and in so doing, not only could kill them with enough amount, but would kill their babies as well. The eagle's main diet is consists of fish, and their home stand is mostly in Canada, but they winter all over the states. And year round, they've been seen in Florida and Texas and Washington. I don't know if y'all have seen them up there in Washington State. They like the East Coast as well. But they are a great predator. Now you think of this, they can reach speeds up to 75 to 100 miles an hour when they're in a dive to catch something. And they can spot a rabbit as far as 3 miles away. Now, you think 3 miles, I don't know, that'd be like I think it'd be farther from here to Donald. Maybe like from here to Subway or something like that. But they can look, and the air down is spotted. And of course, the rabbits camouflage up and all as well. And of course, they use their beaks and their talons to rip the food. And sometimes in courtship, what they'll do, the male and the female, they'll lock talons in midair. And they'll begin a free fall in a circle and just start coming down. And then they'll unlock, and then they'll go fly back up, and they'll lock back again, and they'll be in a free fall coming down. And I wished I could see that, you know, one time. And usually when they gather in big bunches, it'll be because they're gathering around a very good supply of food source. And that would be, you know, I believe the picture that they had on there was, it was around the sea, somewhere around the sea on one of the coasts, and they would gather, and it's like, I don't know, it might have been 50 eagles there, and all of them was mature. And you'll never see, you know, a young one among them like you would say a penguin or something like that, you know, following their parents around. But the eagles would always be with them. Is there any questions? Anybody have anything?
I was going to say that I agree that as far as their talents and the grip strength, it's about 20 times the strength of man's grip. And as I thought about that, I thought about how tenaciously they will cling to their prey, to what they catch. And as I thought about the spiritual application, we're supposed to hold fast to the word of life, the word of truth. And so it needs to be almost inseparable from us. And I remember hearing Brother Jared Jacobs talk about a book in his library that he liked a lot. It was some kind of a study help for the lessons he prepared. He said, "You couldn't pry this out of a cold, dead hand." I think when it comes to the gospel of our salvation, we need to have it so latched in that way where it cannot be pried loose.
Anybody else? I know the aunt wouldn't end the booklet, but I already had it as a lesson, so I'm going to go ahead and we'll start in on the aunt. And if you would, let us be turning to Proverbs 6 and verse 6. And we'll remain there for a little while. There's another verse I'd like to look at as well. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." And also over in Proverbs
30.
Yeah, I was trying to look. 30, verse 25. "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer." And we're going to look at both of these. And we all know it tells us to be wise and not to be lazy. Do we have, when we go to our work, do we have lazy people at work? Some of them may not be doing
their part so that the company can benefit more from it. And we know that people, a lot of times they have a lot of time on their hands. But Proverbs 6 and verse 6 talks about the ant and says, consider her ways. And we know someone who is unmotivated or irresponsible or lazy is not one like the ant. The ant is an industrious small, although it's small in size, it's very industrious. It uses its skill that God has given it. It uses its resources wisely, and it uses its time wisely as well. And three things that we need to work on as Christians as well. You know, it used to be a man's word was his bond. And this guy was saying the other day, maybe a couple of weeks ago, up toward Round Hill. He said, you know, used to you go into the bank, tell them you wanted this much money, you had good credit, you get the money. Because they knew you would pay it back. But nowadays, they want so much down, and they have to run credit checks and all this on it. And if everyone, when that had started out, you know, it only takes a few to ruin, like one bad apple can ruin it all, the rest of the apples. And you might have good intentions on upholding the contract or commitment you had with the bank, but then that goes away. And a lot of times you don't, when you take out, just say if you take out a loan on 30 years, 30 years is a long time. And, you know, some of them think, there was a girl at work one time, she said, I wish that bank would quit calling me. I'm a little late on my payment. I wish they'd quit calling me. Well, her commitment to them, she should have been paying. And the larger that note is, you're just going to have to tough it up. And you got to do what it takes to pay that note off. So are we ones here to church? Are we humbling ourselves? Are we fulfilling our duties here to church? You know, ants work hard on their own. They don't have to be told what to do. Y'all been out there, I went out to my garage, lifted up something, and there's a bunch of ants up under, little tiny ones all over the place. And what you usually do to them, you know, you go find the raid and you get rid of them and find out they'll be crawling around. And just about every spring you see it, after a while I'll tell you how many ants it is, you'll see why there are so many in the world we live in today. And every time you see an ant, he's never still. They're always doing something. This guy said you could, I don't know if I told you this or not, but you could put 100 black ants and 100 red ants in a jar and seal them up. Well, they would stay in there. Now, but when you take and shake it, then they would start killing one another because they feel threatened, and they might have been from different colonies. But not only if you think you see other things running around your yard like squirrels, you see they always bury stuff, but they're busy throughout the summer getting ready for the winter. Just that, as the ants are, they're busy. They never take time off. They're diligent in what they're doing. Diligence means comes from within. It's a persistent work or effort that comes from within. And we have to do that not only here at the church. We got to be persistent in doing our work, just as the ants are. Over in Proverbs 4 in verse 24. It says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. We gain from God's word encouragement from others and for others. Obedience, the obedience that we can gain from God's word, we're to always share it with others and showing, not only sharing what we know, sharing the disobedience that they're in. We might have someone, and you know, it's always something going on in the church here, where somebody might be sick, somebody has something else going in, going on, a family member. And we need to support them in these times of trials and difficulties that they may be going through. In that sense, you know, we can be a help to them. We can be diligent in helping others, not only with God's word, but helping the ones that may be in need. We can learn from the ants unity and teamwork. I know that Logan was on the basketball team not too long ago. And if you went to some of their practices, you said there's no way this team's going to win anything. I mean, they didn't have the unity that it took. They was more about how many points can I score? If he's we had a guy on our lead team 1 year, and there would be like two or three guys on him. He's a good ball player. But when there's two or three guys on you, somebody's got to be open. And he would try to dribble through them, lose the ball, and the coach took him out. And he said, what are you taking me out for, you know? And he said, because you're not sharing the ball. He wasn't in unity. In the Lord's church, you know, we will be better if we work in unity, have the same thoughts and same mind. Each task according to each person's ability, the things that we do, we can do them better. So as we noted, ants do not prepare, but they diligently prepare many months before winter. And they understand how valuable time is, and that's something that, you know, I think as we get older, time is something we'll take advantage of, you know. Some ways you'll get in a habit of doing things, and you don't know it, but these habits cause you to lose time each day, and that's things that you could be doing. You know, my uncle always told me, he said, if you own a house or live somewhere, there's always something can be improved on, always something can be fixed. And now, added on, you know, the summer season now, there's always time you got to be doing something outside. And I'm not saying you don't have to, you can't come in from work and sit down and take time off, but don't let these things that could be done in so many hours turn into so many months, to so many years. And that's showing the opposite, you know, that's showing laziness. We need to prioritize things better in our lives. But ants, there's no quitters in an ant. And sometimes Christians, when they don't see things the way that other Christians do, sometimes, well, I don't have to worship here. You know, there's always other places down the road. And if you ever get a chance, get Steve to show you this video on this preacher. He was up here, he was doing a lesson, a sermon. And I might be off on some of this. I only sing it, you know, for seconds at one time. And he just stopped. He just stopped his service. And he just comes walking down and goes right up to a guy out there and taps him on the shoulder. Lady wakes him up. He was sort of saying to him, you know, you're not here now, so what's it matter if you're even here? And because he's out there sleeping. And then he talked about a couple. He was wanting him to marry me. And why would I want to marry you? You know, you're going to show up once in a while or something like that. And then he pointed out somebody back there in the back, you know, if I don't like it here, I'll go somewhere else. And he said, well, go on. They go in the same place or something like that you are. And I'm sure he lost his job over there. But I mean, you can't say it. He wasn't frank to him. I mean, he come down, and he got his 2 cents worth. And so he went back upstairs. I guess he finished up. But that video, that'll wake you up. I mean, you know, if you look at it. And we sang the songs. Of course, we sang, we'll work till Jesus comes. And I want to be a worker for the Lord. And I'd like to get this in. Or time's up. We know, let's look at Mark 1. Mark 1, and there in verse 29 through 39. And we see here how Jesus himself stayed busy. This is what he'd done in one occasion. And he says, now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, so they'd been in the synagogue, they entered to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. And at evening, when the sun had set, they brought him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they had found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogue throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So here we see Jesus had spent the day in the synagogue and teaching. So in the middle of this teaching, he had to go and he dealt with a man with an unclean spirit. In the afternoon, he goes with his disciples to the house of Simon Peter and others. And Jesus finds their mother there. And she was very sick. And he heals her. And she serves them. Then came people out of the city. He was busy again, healing all of them. And then I believe it was the whole town. And Jesus ministered to them. And what he was, you see, the busyness, he was like that ant. He was busy doing his Father's will the next day. And then he rose early and he prayed. And he decided, instead of continuing to help others in that, he was needed somewhere else. Then, having that long day, he got up and traveled. So you see, he was one that didn't, he was doing God's will. He was busy about doing it. We always talk about when I, sometimes we go out and door knock and we go up to the door and they think, oh, Jehovah's Witness, and or others that would come around, and you could see there they had zeal about going knocking on doors. And it sort of, you know, if you think about it, and you could tell a lot of times when you go to a door and knock, well, they didn't want you there. You know, you could tell that they didn't want you there. And a lot of them say, "Well, I already have a church. I already have a home church." And you could invite them. "Well, yeah, I'll try to be there." But, you know, a lot of times there would be some that would. But we see that Jesus, he'd have been, you know, he'd been after them all the time. And that's something we need to think about. But, you know, I think door knocking's coming up again, you know, before long. And, you know, to join in on that. You know, I'm not saying you got to do it all the time, but, you know, join in at least, you know, a few times on and see what comes of it. Our time's about up. And we'll get into the ants and talk some more. We're going to specifically talk about them. And then I plan on talking about the pigs next week. Now, and they're on Wednesday night. They're in your book that will do the pigs after the ants. And then if we was to get down, I believe the lion would be up. And also the book. Most of the things that we'll get with from now on, unless there's, if I'm in need of other things to do, they'll be in the book from now on. And thank you for your comments and attention.